So let's go to 1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 16 in the Message Bible. Now I understand why God said focus on this. Read it before you minister. Because he knew what was coming. And he knew the answer was everyone needs to follow instructions. It says, make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God and respect the government. That's what the word tells us to do as believers, and that's what we're endeavoring to do. And again, in thinking about everything that's going on, you can get the feeling that wondering, is this stuff ever going to end? You know, I mean, it's been 4 months. Aside from the political unrest and the health unrest with the pandemic, now there's social unrest, and it seems like folks won't let it, fires flare up, and then you do some things that causes a fire to go out. But it seems that we keep fanning the flames, and things seem to start to die down, and then they come up again, and then they die down, and they come up again. And you wonder, why does that happen? I can tell you why it happens. Because it works. That's why. The devil found out that he can keep people running around, he can get them forgetting who they are in Christ by causing all these different things to happen. You say, well, why won't God stop it? Remember when Jesus and Peter were at the water's edge? I like to say they were on the beach. And Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. And what absolutely stuns me about that whole account, Jesus did not say, I told him no. Because he could have just as easily said, no, you can't, and done. But he didn't say that. He said, Satan has repeatedly asked permission to sift you, to sift all of you as wheat. He said, but I've prayed especially for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. So Jesus was telling Peter, it's open season on you. But I've prayed that your faith won't fail. So guess what? The devil thinks this is open season. Yeah, the world's involved in it, but his target's not the world. His target is the church. He wants the church to get all caught up in it so that our faith fails. And once our faith fails, we no longer look at spiritual things. We no longer look for spiritual answers. We look to natural things. Because the natural things seem to make us feel good faster. And it seems like this Christian stuff takes too long. I haven't done the calculations, but I probably will, because I've been thinking about it a lot, just exactly how many years it was from Adam's fall to Jesus' resurrection. Because whatever that time is, God had to wait. And he could have made it happen like the snap of a finger. But he had to wait. Servant's not greater than his Lord. So if God, who created everything, had to wait and let his plan unfold, we have to wait also and allow God's plan to unfold. And again, like I said, the world doing things, it's the world, they don't know. But those of us that know have a different type of responsibility. See, Pastor Ed and I and other pastors out there that are sticking to the word period. We don't do that because, you know, we just want to give hard lessons or, you know, that's all we know. We do it because that's what God says. And there are times when we start out thinking we're going in one direction, and by the time we finish, we're all the way over here. And it's because that's what God needed. And then after the service, we'll get emails or notes, or people come up to us and say, I needed to hear that. And they start telling us things that were going on in their lives. Well, if we had gone with our original plan, we just never went over there. So it's important that everyone yields to the prompting of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is not going to tell you to do something contrary to what he wants to teach you the next time you come to service. And so we teach what we teach in the way we teach because we've received clear instructions from God to do so. But the second reason is equally important. We love you guys. And ladies. Okay. We do. We want you to prosper and be in health. And it's an honor that God trusts us with you. So we have to tell you things the way he tells us. God, like I said, we started doing the confessions. We didn't know why, but it didn't matter why, because God said so. And now we see why he was focusing on obeying the government respect. Because there's some states, you know, that have, you know, they've opened up, now they're closing back down again. Why? Folks didn't follow the guidelines. Okay. Look at 2 Timothy. Because we knew God had a reason. So we taught you principles from the word. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17 in the Amplified Bible, the classic Amplified, says, every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration and profitable for instruction, for reproof of conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action. And it's important to understand that because what you think on, you're going to purpose in your heart to do it, and then you're going to do it. You think it, you purpose it, then you do it. And it says God's word is profitable. It's for correction of error, discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness. And it tells us why in verse 17, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. I was going to read it in the Message Bible, but for time's sake, I'm not. You can read it in the Message Bible. It says the same thing a little differently. But my point in sharing that is because we need to reboot. We need to reboot. We've how many of you have had a computer freeze up on you? What did you have to do? You had to reboot it. Now think about what rebooting does. You have to take power away from it and then put it back. Yeah, take power away so it can't keep acting contrarily. It can't keep messing up. So it can't act contrary to the way it's supposed to act. So you take power away from it. Usually they ask you to wait 30 seconds, 60 seconds. Why? Because whatever's causing it to act in that manner doesn't have power, it goes away, then you apply the power to it, and it goes up and now it starts acting right. So we need to reboot. We need to take power away from all the things that cause us to doubt and get back to the fundamentals that we know. We have to, because our confidence gets frozen, our faith gets locked. So we need to reboot, and we need to understand some basic principles again. Let's look at Isaiah 55. What I'm doing right now is what's called taking away the excuses. Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, just like that cycle continues, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The Message Bible I have to read, it says, God said, I don't think the way you think. And the way you work isn't the way I work. For as the sky soars above earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work, and the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as the rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. So that scripture tells us, now understand, the scripture tells us that we have the mind of Christ. And so I'm thinking, since I have the mind of Christ, why can't my thoughts be God's thoughts? Why can't my ways be God's ways? You know something? They should. But let's get a little insight into the way God's thoughts and his ways. Look at Genesis 1. Genesis 1, King James Version. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, let there be light. What else did he do? He said, let there be light. And he said it fully expecting light was whatever had to happen to produce light would happen. God didn't say, let there be light. Okay, and now to get light, you do this and you do that. He said, let there be light. The reason, think about something. He said, let, which implies that something was trying to hinder it. So he said, let there be light. And whatever was getting in the way of light, gone. They say it was a big boom. Yeah, well, whatever's holding back the light got blown away. Let there be light. Bang. Light. Okay. Light. He spoke it. He believed what he spoke would happen. And it happened. And drop down to verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So what God thinks he says, what he believes he says, and what he says happens. Why? Because he believes it. He believes it. And we're made in his image and after his likeness. So that means we should be thinking the way he thinks, and we should be speaking the way he speaks, and we should be believing the way he believes. Because we can. Why? How can we? We're made in his image and after his likeness. What God says always comes into being. Always. Tell that to your neighbor. What God said always comes into being. That's Mark 11:23 and 24. For verily I say unto you that whatsoever you, those things whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You shall have them. But there's something that needs to be considered. And it's why we keep going in and out of faith. And it's something that I didn't see. I never saw this. Never had this thought. Ever. But, I mean, it so hit me. I look to see what time it is, and I say it's such. I didn't think about the time. I just kept thinking about what was revealed to me. One of the reasons believers have problems, go in and out of faith, is because of experiences. Because of stuff that's happened. And more personally, stuff that's happened to you. Things that you might feel some kind of way, you know, if you hear something happen to me, or, you know, I'm not saying you don't care, but be different if it happened to a member of your family who you're close to. You might feel differently about it. Well, God made a declaration about recreating and replenishing the earth. Think about this. If I'm going to make a declaration about recreating or replenishing, that means that there was something there that's not there anymore, and I want to bring it back. That means there was something in existence that had an issue, a circumstance. Something happened that caused this thing that was there not to be there anymore. Something caused that thing that was there not to produce like it was producing. And God didn't say, you know what? I created the earth, didn't work. I guess this faith stuff really doesn't work. Because I created a perfect world, and now look at it. It's dark, it's formless. Darkness all over the place. And I'm supposed to stick with this and do this again? I think not. No, God, and this is what really hit me. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. He said that, he made those declarations after he had to expel Satan from heaven. After he knew Satan's plan, Satan took a third of the angels with him. A third. You can see that in Revelation 12. It says a third of the stars went with him. God didn't say, I'm done. I create these angels, he's perfect in beauty, and he turns on me. I'm done with man. No, God said, we're going to make man in our image and after our likeness. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to give them dominion. So think about this. Think about this. God gave man dominion over the very being that didn't listen to God. You think about that. Satan was disobedient. Lucifer was disobedient. Lucifer decided he was going to overthrow God. And God had to throw him out of heaven. And then he said, I'm creating man. I'm creating another being. And he's going to have dominion over Lucifer. Over the one that challenged me. Now think about it. He gave us dominion over an archangel that challenged his authority. He gave us dominion. If God can display that type of faith in us, all we have to do is believe him. Believe that he did it. He had Jesus tell us, I give you power. Physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. All of it. We've allowed current circumstances to cloud our thinking about that. and we're stuck in this chasm almost, with things pulling on either side, and we're starting to lean. We're starting to lean politically. We're starting to lean socially. We're starting to lean in terms of our physical health. We become afraid of things. Now, I'm not saying you don't operate in disrespect toward your adversaries, because when you do that, you're going to make a mistake. Your adversary is capable of doing everything that it says it can do. We need to understand they just can't do it to us. If we're walking in our authority, the devil comes with stuff to start to get us to walk in the world's ways, which is not in the authority that God gave us. So when you walk in the world's ways, the best you have is a 50-50 chance of being successful. But if you do what God says, his word never fails. Never. That's why we have to reboot, so God can restore. So he made that declaration even though he had to endure circumstance, even though he had to endure one of his top men turning on him. Didn't move him at all. Didn't move him. Just, you out of here. Jesus said, I saw Satan like lightning. Like a pestilence, like a dart that just came down to the earth. We need to get back and turn to Mark 11. I know I read it from the King James, but I want to read it from the Campbell Johnson translation, because it says it in a way that I think it really needs to be read. Truly, anyone who speaks of that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. God never allowed the circumstances with Lucifer to cause him to back away from his plan to have man, a creation, love him and worship him and spend eternity with him. He never backed away from it. No matter what man did, no matter what man says, no matter how many men curse God, he is not backing away from his statement. We're made in his image, and after his likeness, we have to stop backing away from the words God gives us to speak when we speak them. I don't care what happened. This is what God said, and I'm sticking with it. Yeah, but this happened. I don't care about that. God said, he said that his people are going to be fruitful and multiply and replenish. I don't care what the economy says. God said. God told me to give. I don't care what my bank says. God said. God said, with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I was healed. It doesn't matter to me what the doctor said. It doesn't matter to me what medication I may have to take. God said, I'm healed. And I'm not going to question the manner in which he chooses to heal me. I'm not going to question that. Because my place is to do what God said. Not question it. Period. God says, go jump in a lake. I go jump in a lake. He says, I said to God, I'm really getting tired of my knees hurting. They don't hurt as much as they used to. I'm really getting tired of it. God said, lose 20 pounds. I said, oh, but I found this lotion you rub on your knees and makes it feel good. He said, lose 20 pounds. Then he gave me a plan. I forget when it was I started. I know it covered about 5 weeks, maybe 5.5 weeks. He said, no desserts until July 5th. I loves me some ice cream. None. What was the occasion when our granddaughter said, have some ice cream? No, what was the occasion? We got to. Oh, yeah, for her birthday. Yeah. And she texted me and she said, have some. You know, there's this particular flavor of ice cream that she introduced us to. That's like we were singing the song, so, so good. My attitude was, with every breath that I'm able, I'm not eating any until July 5th. I went from 297 pounds to 257 pounds. I mean, that's, God told me what to do, and I did it. Now he has me on another 4 week, no dessert thing. And when I want something, I told my wife, I want dessert, but I'm not eating it. I want it. I'm not going to say, oh, I don't want it. Oh, no, I want it. Because I'm not going to walk around for the rest of my life with painful knees and taking my time going up the steps. And you can tell when I'm feeling good, right? Because I'll go running up the steps. But he gave me a goal and we're going to reach the goal. But see, I had to reboot and go to God and find out what to do and then purpose in my heart to do exactly what he said. Period. Exactly what he said. I don't care how good the dessert is. He said, don't eat it. I'm not eating it. I said all of that to say this, Joel 2. Because I wanted us to get to the place where our confidence is renewed that if God said it, it's going to happen. I just have to believe it and not let go of what I believe. Joel 2, verse 25 in the Amplified. God said, and I will restore or replace for you the years that the locusts have eaten. The hopping locust, the stripping locust, the crawling locust. My great army, which I sent among you. If you read that in the original text, that great army that I allowed to come among you. Because God doesn't send destruction on us, but he allows it to happen. And the reason he allows it to happen is because we're equipped to deal with it. We just don't. We don't deal with it the right way. But God said, I will restore. Yes, there are a lot of things that happen because of the social issues. I mean, there's no peace. You know, there's so many ridiculous things that are going on in the name of justice. And all of them are selfish because it's still trying to get to a point of the way you say, when I was, you know, a child, I said, it's just us. And no matter what plans are out there, it's still trying to segment. And folks, believers need to rise up and demonstrate, and we're going to talk about that in a few moments, and just demonstrate what it means to live in unity. Let me tell you something. There's a difference between agreement and unity. It's not the same thing. You can agree something needs to be done, but you're not united in how it's done. If you have unity, you'll have agreement. But the other way around doesn't necessarily work. But God said, I will restore or replace. And the reason he had me use the Amplified Bible is because the Amplified Bible says restore or replace. And God wants us to know that whatever it takes to put things back the way it was and even better, he's going to do. Whether something needs to be restored, replaced, refurbished, whatever he has to do, he's going to do. We have to grab hold of that word and not let it go. And not let it go. Listen, Jesus was not concerned with what things look like. Lazarus was dead 4 days. Anybody here in the medical profession? What happens when a body is dead 4 days? It starts to decompose. Actually, as soon as life leaves, the process of it decomposing begins. And they tried, when he said open the tomb, they're like, no, 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 no. Don't open the tomb. After 4 days, there's going to be a stench. Didn't I tell you, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? That was his response to it. He didn't say, yeah, everybody cover your noses. This may stink for a little bit. No, he said, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Roll away the stone. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus got up and came out. He wasn't stinking. He wasn't rotting. Whatever it was that caused life to leave his body was restored. Just like light be, Lazarus come forth. Light be, whatever had to happen, happened. Lazarus come forth, whatever had to happen, happened. When he encountered the demon-possessed boy, that nine of his disciples, nine of his specially trained special forces, couldn't get this demon out of this boy. Jesus called, the Bible says, called the offending demon out, and it was out. But before it came out, it threw a fit and left the boy laying on the ground looking like he was dead. And the people around it looked like, he's dead. Jesus just went, get up, go on. Wasn't moved by a circumstance, because he said, come out of him. And he gave us that same power. He didn't care that the seas were rough and the boat was rocking all over. Peace, be still. And everything immediately calmed down. Calmed down. That's the image and likeness of which we were made. And if Jesus did it, we can do it. Because he gave us his power and he gave us the authority to use his name. We need to understand that. So let's go over to Ezekiel 37. Because this is where we are. It's like the church's valley of dried bones. In the Amplified Version, Ezekiel said, the hand of the Lord, starting with verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass around among them, that means walk through them, and behold, there were very many human bones in the open valley or plain, and behold, they were very dry. Why do you think they were very dry? Right. They'd been in that state a long time. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Will the church wake up? Oh, Lord God, you know, no. Church, you will wake up. Why? Because God said so and he gave me authority. But Ezekiel didn't have that kind of authority. So he said, God, you know. Again, he said to me, means God said to him, prophesy to these bones. What does prophesy mean? He said, speak to these bones and say to them, O you dry bones, live. Isn't that what it says? No. O dry bones, moisten yourself. No, he said, O dry bones, I don't care how dry you are. I don't care how long you've been dry. Hear the word of the Lord. Church of 2020, hear the word of the Lord. Period. Doesn't matter how long something's been going on. Doesn't matter how long it's been in any particular state. It can still hear the word of the Lord. So God had Ezekiel speak to that which has been dead a long time, dry, lifeless bones. Why would God do that? Because he paid, this is what he said to me. I pay no attention to conditions or circumstances. He doesn't care what's going on. His word prevails. So something happened here. As I said before, he told the dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Why did he tell them that? Well, it's because of what we learned in the New Testament. Every scripture is God-breathed and it's profitable. So when there's a situation, what does it need? It needs to hear the word of the Lord. That's where the Lord's vessels come into play. We should be containers of the word of the Lord. And God comes and he says, give them this word. And you speak that word. You don't say, but I don't know if it's going to hear me. If the dry bones can hear, the live person can hear. If you believe. If you believe. So God, through Ezekiel, told the dry bones, listen to my word. Then he told them a word in verse 5. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath and spirit to enter you, and you shall live. So he's speaking to bones that have been dead a long time. Said, I will cause breath and spirit to enter you. I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath and spirit in you, and you dry bones shall live, and you shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. God is saying, church, you live. You live. And you understand that I am the sovereign Lord. Period. I'm the sovereign Lord. You'll know and understand that. And you'll know that I call you to be loyal, obedient servants. Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Even though Ezekiel knew in the natural that what these bones were lifeless, God said, speak to them. So Ezekiel said, hey, God said, speak to them. I'm not concerning myself with their condition. I'm only concerning myself with the words I'm supposed to say to them. Folks, don't be concerned about the condition. Be concerned about the word God gave you to speak about the condition. And the condition will change. Stop speaking what you see and speak only what you hear from God. We're very good at speaking what we hear from the news, from our favorite activists, or whomever. We need to put all of that aside. We need to purge ourselves, to take power away from all of that. Let it get out of your system and plug in again and only hear and feed on what God said. And you know what? Your attitudes will change. The way you see things will change. The way you conduct yourself will change. Why? Because now your thoughts are God's thoughts and your ways are God's ways. And there's no chasm between what you think and what God thinks. You'll be thinking the same thing. So Ezekiel said, he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a thundering noise. And behold, the shaking and the trembling and the rattling. And listen to this, folks. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. Say, the bones came together. I got to show you a little funny here. This can be on the tape, right? Now, I didn't play that just because I wanted to make you laugh. I played that to let you know that when God spoke, every single bone had to operate in unity. The first thing they had to do is come together. The first thing that we make up a body, then they had to realize who they were. I'm an arm bone, I'm a knee bone, I'm a hip bone, I'm a backbone. And then they had to realize their place in the body. Didn't matter how long they'd been dry, didn't matter how long they'd been dead, they heard the word of the Lord, live. And God caused them to live, and then they had to come together in unity. Why is that important in the restoration process? Go to Psalm 133. King James Version. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. How? In unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. For as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mounts of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life. He said to the dry bones, what? Live. He spoke life to that which was dead. But in order for that life to come, there had to be unity, because it's at that place of unity that the command, the blessing, life forevermore is given. So the bones couldn't go running over, I'm alive, and be over here by itself. No. They had to realize that they're not dead. They had to realize they have a place and a purpose. That's not the time for the foot to say, oh, good, I always wanted to be a shoulder, let me jump up there. No. They knew their place. We in the body of Christ, we have to know our place and occupy our place, doing what we were called to do, knowing. When you think about all the bones in the body, the reason my knees were hurting was because a piece of cartilage
about this big around that's supposed to cushion between the knee joints, gave out. Gave out. Now, it had help. You know, it didn't know that I was going to play basketball and jump up and down on concrete. Just mass them. But whatever it was, it couldn't endure. So it gave out. So the enemy comes with all this stuff trying to mass the faith out of you so you give up. No, you have to know your place and know if God puts you there. He already knew everything you were going to encounter. God already knew Satan was in the earth. So he put man in the garden anyway, and he gave man dominion. Yes, man, you're going to encounter some stuff. You have dominion. Man lost it. God didn't say, this is the second time this has happened to me. Forget them. No, he sent Jesus. Why did he send Jesus? To bring us all back into unity with him. In 2 Corinthians 2, somewhere around verse 19, I believe it is, in the Message Bible, the Bible says that God settled, through Christ, God settled our differences with him. He took care of the unity issue with him. Then he left it up to us to be in unity one with another. God said, I'm taking care of my relationship with you. You take care of your relationship with each other. Just like the body, if I was to fall right now, my arms would immediately go out to try and break the fall or protect the rest of the body. Now, my arms don't think, hey, I got to protect the body. No, they get instructions, they get impulses from the brain. And unless there's something that's going on, a deformity or whatever, your limbs are going to respond to what your brain tells it. In the body of Christ, Jesus is the head. He's going to give every member instructions. And every member is to follow the instructions, not question. One arm said, why are we the only ones that we have to take the weight? We're not the ones that tripped. Let the foot get hurt or the knee. Why do I have to always sacrifice myself? It's an honor to be in service of the Lord. And we need to see it that way. So if we're going to be restored, and we are, we're going to have to come together, folks, and operate in unity. God restored the nation of Israel. They were dead. He restored them to a place better than they were before they became dry bones. He restored them better than what they had. And he's waiting to do the same thing with us. Yes, circumstances have come. So what? How do you determine someone is a great fighter? How do you determine that? How is that determined? Yeah, how does one become a great fighter? Does that mean they have to be in great fights? You know, Muhammad Ali couldn't just decide to say, I'm the greatest. He had to do something that indicated there's something different about this person. That's right. See, Michael Jordan is arguably the greatest basketball player of all times. Why? Because of what he did, not so much in regular season, what he did in championship games, in playoff games, you know, under abnormal circumstances. They look at, how did this person do it? And it's, oh, this person is great. In other words, what I'm trying to say, folks, is Bible says, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. We want the victories. So that means we're going to have to be in battles. But the great news is we're in battles that we've already won. We just have to go through it. So we're going through a pandemic. We're going through social unrest. We're going through political unrest. We're going through all these different types of things. But guess what? We're going through, and the world is watching what the church is doing. And don't get caught up in the rhetoric of, this is just happening because they're trying to stop the church. Well, the governor of Pennsylvania said we have new guidelines, maximum of 25 people indoors. And I was upset. From 250 to 25? But then I found out, but it doesn't include churches. That's not the voice of someone that's trying to stop the church. But let's go for a moment. Let's say he was. 5 minutes over. I'll say this in 2 minutes and I'll quit. Let's just go on the premise that that was his purpose. He heard the word of the Lord and said, oh, no, this doesn't include churches. So I don't care what his belief may be, because I haven't sat down and talked with him. But he said, he could have just as easily said, everybody, no matter what. Doesn't include houses of worship. So my position is, God bless you, Governor Wolf. That's why God says, pray for those that are in it, for men everywhere, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, which we are. We're back. We can meet as a group. We can have as many in here as social distancing allows. And we figure it to be about 60. And if we consistently go over 60, then we'll add another service. So you can go home, you come on, Lord, let's bring the people. When people comes, we'll expand accordingly. But I'm going to unhook because my plan was to dismiss by noon. I'm going to be about 5 minutes over that. Actually, I said 11:45, between 11:45 and noon as the first time. Well, it's pretty good for me. It's not good enough. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the word that we've heard this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the understanding that goes along with hearing the word, that we didn't just hear it. We understood it, and we know how to apply it to our life. We understand, Lord, that in order for us to receive the blessing life so that we can be restored to better than it was before all of this unrest hit, we as a church have to come together in unity. And we thank you, Father, that as we encounter our brothers and sisters in Christ, that the love for them flows through us. Not just because we're called Redeeming Love Christian Center, but because we're your children. We have your nature. We have your image. And your word clearly states you are love. So since we're made in your image and your likeness, we also are love. Let people first see that we love them so that they'll hear the word of the Lord from a vessel who they know loves them. And one way that they'll know that we love them is that they see us loving one another. Because Jesus said, when we love one another, everyone will know that we're his disciples. Thank you, Father, for these people. Thank you for their health and their safety. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.